Welcome to Daily Devotion with Ken Gurley. Devotions designed to inspire you on your daily walk with God. Each day we walk through the vital principles of the abundant life. Our Lord can do above and beyond all we ask or think. Here's your host, Ken Gurley.
A phrase has been on my mind for the last day or so. Forsake not. There are so many nots in the Bible. Nearly 6,600 times the word not is used in the KJV. It's an abiding word used to describe the law, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not, or as the New Testament expresses it, touch not, taste not, handle not. In fact, we look at the word not and pretty much decide not to have anything to do with it. For if the law would have perfected people, it would have with 6,600 nots in the Bible. What good is emphasizing on the nots? I think it's important in certain circumstances to do that. We can't build our faith on a negative. We can't build our faith on a not. It's built on an affirmative. We require a yea and amen. We have the affirmation of faith, not negations of doubt. Yet a phrase captured my heart recently, and I just can't seem to get away from it. Forsake not, or not forsaking. These phrases are only used a handful of times in the Bible, and they're sprinkled in random places. The bulk, as we would expect, are in the Old Testament, but one slips over into the New Testament. And I think it's a fruitful course of study, something that we should look at. Forsake not, not forsaking. Can I mention just a few of these to you today? My name is Ken Gurley, and all of this week on our daily devotion, we're discussing faith for the hard times. Let me start where I should in Proverbs, where twice Solomon says that we should listen to the instruction of our fathers. We should forsake not the law of our mother. The word forsake here means to reject or abandon. How important that is in our day and age to be aware of the need to remain connected with the prior generations. That voice from behind that says, this is the way, walk ye in it. Paul told Timothy to remember the genuine faith placed in him by his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. A golden chain of faith from prior generations. Forsake not the law of thy mother. Recall, remember, hold on to what she taught you. This is the first commitment of fidelity. Fidelity, faithfulness to what was put in you, being faithful to what you were taught. Another use of the phrase, forsake not, is found in Deuteronomy chapter 12. Take heed to thyself that thou forsake not the Levite as long as thou livest upon the earth. A couple of chapters later, we read something similar. Deuteronomy 14, the Levite that's within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him, for he hath no part nor inheritance with thee. That's interesting, because even though it's in the law, it is a very important connection to this grace age. A Levite was a person from the tribe of Levi. You remember the 12 tribes of Israel, the one devoted to the Lord. From Levi would come Moses and Aaron and the Aaronic priesthood, the people who worked in and around the house of God. When Israel came into the promised land, all the other tribes were given an inheritance, but not Levi. When you read of the property distribution in Joshua chapters 13 through 21, Levi is omitted. Sure, if you look at the maps in the back of the Bible, you're still going to count the territories of 12 tribes. But we come to that number 12 by splitting the tribe of Joseph into his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. So the Levites had no territory. Why? Because the Lord God of Israel is their inheritance. They were given places to live in pasture lands throughout the territories of the other tribes. God tells his people, forsake not the Levites. Of course, Israel was tribal. They largely operated in their tribes. And during the wilderness journey, they encamped by tribes. They moved by tribes. Even though they were permitted to marry members of other tribes, it grew complicated within the inheritance of the properties because land had to remain in the tribe. It's understandable then that the Levites, who were sprinkled throughout all the other tribes, would feel left out, abandoned. God said, forsake not the Levites. include them, make them feel a part. Also remember, it was the tithes of the 12 tribes that supported the Levites. It's how they ministered. It's how they survived. Forsake not the Levites. Since the New Testament ministry is patterned on that same principle, the principle of Levites and the supporting of the ministers has some significance into this grace age. I know a lot of ministers. Back in my CPA days, I did the books for a lot of churches and taxes for a lot of ministers. Don't do that any longer, but I'm connected enough to know that for the one doing well financially, there are many more struggling to make ends meet. Moses is speaking to us. Don't forsake the Levites. Include them. Don't ostracize them. Make them feel a part. Remember to support them. Your tithes and your offerings do that in the local church. In the New Testament, Jesus complimented the religious people for paying their tithes. Jesus also pointed out that they went to extremes on this principle, tithing from every herb that grew wild in their yard. But we read, "Muzzle not the ox that treads out the grain." In other words, if the ox is providing for the grain, then let him eat from the grain. Those who labor in the word should be rewarded for such. Forsake not the Levite. This is a financial commitment. We have a commitment of fidelity. We have a commitment of finances. Put God first in your giving. Another use of the words forsake not is found in Proverbs 27. Thine own friend and thy father's friend, forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor than is near than a brother far off. Here's another translation. Never abandon a friend, either yours or your father's, because when disaster strikes, you won't have to ask your brother for assistance. It's better to go to a neighbor than to a brother who lives far away. Forsake not your friend. Never abandon a friend. Do you remember when we used to do Friends Day at churches? And you say, "Well, Pastor, we still do." That's great. Elmer Towns was the author of that, and it's a great program. For a month or so, we talked about the worth of friendship. Then people would invite their friends with them to church. What always staggered me was the struggle people had to invite friends. Not just that they lived their lives in front of these people as not being a witness, but they had so few people they actually called friends. It was easier, it seemed, to invite a stranger than to invite a friend. We in America are friend poor. We have a lot of friends on social media, but we have few friends that meet the biblical definition of a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, those loyal allies in life who love us, care for us, enrich our lives, who help extract the toxin and the bitterness from us, who bear burdens with us, who walk through lonely times of our lives with us, the people who are for us. That's why you need a church family. We pray for one another. We check on each other. We watch out for the other. Don't forsake your friends. Yes, you have family and even close family, and that's a reward beyond compare. But foster those friendships and relationships that are healthy. Find people who are genuine, who have nothing negative to say about other people, who build you up and you build them up. And watch God do his work. Forsake not friends or having friends. This is the commitment to friendship. Here's one more use of the phrase, forsake not. And it's the one most accurately planted within the confines of the New Testament. One of the significant knots found in the 27 books of the Grace Age. It's in Hebrews 10. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. As we see the return of Christ, we need to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. When the church was born on that very day, it was too big for a building. They met outside on the Lord's days and the weeks, months, and years after that, and then met house to house throughout the week. It wasn't for a couple of hundred years did we start seeing the building of church houses. And even then, they perish quickly with persecution, with ongoing wars of neighboring nations and different religions. Why do we gather, either in person, online, either in church house or individual homes, or in other places? Why do we gather either on Sunday or throughout the week? We gather for five reasons: worship, fellowship, discipleship, ministry, and mission. Those are the five reasons: worship, fellowship, discipleship, ministry, and mission. We don't gather to spectate or speculate. We gather to participate. Do you remember in 2020, during the time of the pandemic, church attendance had fallen off? It took years afterwards to regain that attendance, and even then, some never returned. We realized then so acutely how important it was for us to be a part of the body of Christ. A churchgoer wrote a letter to the editor of a newspaper and complained that it made no sense to go to church every Sunday. The letter read as follows: "I've gone to church 30 years, and that time I've heard something like 3,000 sermons, but for the life of me, I can't remember a single one of them. So I think I'm wasting my time and the pastors are wasting their time." It started a real controversy in the letters to the editor column, much to the delight of the editor. Went on for weeks until someone wrote the following clincher: "I've been married for 30 years now, and that time my wife has cooked some 32,000 meals, but for the life of me, I can't recall the entire menu for a single one of those meals. But I know this, they all nourished me and gave me the strength I needed to do my work. If my wife had not given me those meals, I would be physically dead today. Likewise, if I had not gone to church for nourishment, I would be spiritually dead today." We go to be fed. We go to be nourished. That's the worth of church attendance. Yet I believe one of the key features we miss is that breaking of bread from house to house that we find in Acts 20, verse 20. It's how the church started. It's what sustained the church during persecution. It's how believers were discipled, getting together with fellow believers to pray, to fellowship, to encourage one another, to provoke one another. This is crucial in our day for a variety of reasons. One reason is that America is a lonely place. America does not have a lot of friends. People are looking for meaningful relationships and connections that can actually change them and transform them. It's crucial for another reason. Jesus is coming, and he's coming very soon. We are to encourage one another. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, and all the more so as we see the coming of the Lord. In other words, we encourage one another. We provoke one another. We caution one another. We remind one another that all that we're doing because Jesus is coming and coming very, very soon. Forsake not. It's the worth of commitment. Be true to what you've been taught. Be faithful in your finances and in your giving. Be committed to your friendships and remember to assemble together. The first day of the week, we're in the house of the Lord. Scattered throughout the week, we're in small groups and meaningful relationships that just remind us iron is sharpening iron, and we're getting ready for the coming of the Lord. That's faith for hard times that will see you through to eternity.
Thank you for sharing in daily devotion with Ken Gurley. We pray this ministry has been a source of encouragement and strength to you. Please be mindful that your financial support enables us to meet with you each day. To give a donation or connect with us, visit our website at kengurley.com. There you will also find the latest books, podcasts, and resources. Blessed 90 Days to Change Your World is Pastor Gurley's latest book. You can get your copy of this life-changing book at kengurley.com. May God's favor rest on you in every way until we meet again.